senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Mr. Chris Mannix, is on with us right now. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. You had an interesting tweet yesterday when it came to Markelle Fultz, and I want you to talk about it a little bit more at length here. Sixers appear to be blindsided by Markelle Fultz, by his agent effectively shutting him down, suggests the two sides are not at all on the same page. Makes you think if Fultz eventually succeeds, it won't be in Philly. Chris, what is the fallout, you think, the immediate fallout from a move like this?
Well, the immediate fallout... I don't know that there's anything that changes significantly. Markelle Fultz is not going anywhere. He has virtually no trade value, at least not enough to warrant making a deal for a guy a year removed from being the number one overall pick. And, you know, the Sixers, all they can do is kind of go along with whatever he feels is necessary to do. I mean, they've got to find a way to rehabilitate him, or at the very least to make a deal involving him. But I mean, look, there are plenty of basketball reasons to believe that Markelle Fultz is not going to be a great fit in Philadelphia, especially with Jimmy Butler on board. But, you know, they've got to figure out a way to get him playing good basketball, or else, you know, they're not going to be able to get anything out of him in the trade.
Wow. So were you, how surprised were you though, when it came to the timing of all this? The fact that not only had just been put on the bench because of the Jimmy Butler trade, but he also recently just lost minutes to a guy like TJ McConnell. Is all that kind of suspicious?
It's suspicious, I guess, you know, because you don't know what's going on with Markelle Fultz mentally, you know, and that's, you know, widely viewed across the league as his biggest issue, not the physical stuff, but the mental stuff, and, you know, getting his mind right after, you know, a really bizarre season last year. I don't know if it has to do with the Butler deal. I don't know if it has to do with losing minutes in one game to a TJ McConnell, but something's going on with Markelle Fultz right now, to the point where his agent is now driving all of this. I thought my colleague over at SI, Michael McCann, had an interesting piece about how, you know, there could be something legal going on at some point because of the way that David Aldridge framed his story, saying it wasn't Markelle Fultz's agent, Raymond Brothers, it was his attorney, Raymond Brothers. So that could lead to something going on behind the scenes between Fultz and the Sixers.
So it's obviously one and the same, though, but the terminology is that David Aldridge did use, like you just pointed out, was lawyer. And I saw the story that your colleague wrote. It is on SI.com. I suggest people check it out. There could be maybe a goal to do something, take legal action if you're Markelle Fultz's camp. That's basically what it implies, no?
Yeah, it does. I'm not smart enough to understand what legal action
neither am I.
Would make sense. Make sense in that situation. But I mean, it's just, you know, it's only a year plus in, but doesn't it feel like we're just kind of careening to the point of no return, at least with Markelle Fultz in Philly? I mean, I don't know if Fultz is ever going to live up to the expectations of being the number one overall pick, but whether it's mental, you know, reasons and the pressure that comes with being the number one pick and living up to those expectations, or a simple fact that he's not a great fit alongside Ben Simmons and now Jimmy Butler. But it just feels like if Markelle Fultz is ever going to reach his potential, it's not going to be in Philadelphia. It's a question of when, not if, that breakup ultimately happens.
Chris, what do you think, or what did you think his potential was coming out of college? Did you have him as, yeah, he's the consensus number one pick and a kid that can be a really good player in this league? Or were you skeptical, that's a good word. Yeah. Were you skeptical from the beginning?
No, I was convinced he was going to be a really good player, to the point where I wrote a column after the Celtics trade saying, you know, that deal was going to be a referendum on Danny Ainge. You know, shows what I know. It was a good one for Danny Ainge. But, you know, I thought he was the real deal. I watched him a lot at Washington. You know, I thought he had kind of that Chris Paul-like ball control ability to probe the paint and do what Steve Nash did for much of his career. I thought he was going to be a high-level guy. And look, he shot 41-point-something percent from three in that 1 year in college. So there was no reason to believe that jump shot and that three-point shot was not going to translate to an NBA level. It just hasn't. And we can, you know, run down the list of hypotheticals as to why, but it just hasn't gone that way. And look, I'm still a believer that at some point during Markelle Fultz's career, it's going to come together. And at the very least, he's going to be a serviceable starter in this league. I just am, you know, I'm not convinced and don't believe it's going to happen in Philly.
Have you ever heard of a situation where the agent or the lawyer in this case, as it was termed, calls the team to say, hey, guess what? My guy's injured.
Yeah, I mean, on the top of my head, I'm not thinking it. But, yeah, it happens from time to time. I mean, agents, you know, maybe not this publicly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they don't blindside the team quite as much as it seems like Philadelphia was blindsided. I think the communication was certainly lacking between Fultz and his side and the Sixers. And it's pretty clear from, you know, just from the outside looking in, listening to Elton Brand, listening to Brett Brown, they don't believe that Markelle Fultz is really injured. I mean, they think he's healthy enough to play. So, you know, there's obviously a disconnect and a divide between what Fultz and his team thinks he is or where they think he is and where the Sixers think he is physically.
We're speaking with Chris Mannix, SI.com. From a national perspective, Chris, who is Markelle Fultz? What is Markelle Fultz? You mentioned his ceiling a second ago, but from a guy who's looking at this from a national angle, what does the rest of the league think of the whole situation, and Markelle Fultz in particular?
I mean, it's the simple way to put it is bizarre. You know, I was talking to a head coach last night who was, you know, inquiring about what was going on with Markelle Fultz in Philadelphia. I don't think anybody really has a firm grasp on what exactly the issue is and how exactly to get it resolved, including the 76ers. I mean, nationally, it's just one of the most, if not the most fascinating stories to follow on a weekly basis, whether it's, you know, how injured he is, the changes to his free throw shooting form. I mean, everything is just, it just seems like Markelle Fultz is trying one thing after the other to get himself right, and nothing seems to work. So I think there's a fascination every day with what happens and not a real number of solutions out there to deal with it.
Chris, do you think this ultimately hurts the team in any way moving forward? And also, where do you see this team now? Like, where do you see this team with Jimmy Butler on it as far as competing in the East?
Yeah, I think it hurts the team because, you know, I always thought that playing Markelle Fultz off the bench as the lead man with a second unit was the smartest way to go. I mean, what they were doing with Fultz early on, you know, force feeding him minutes in the first half and pulling him out in favor of McConnell and others in the second half, that never really made any sense to me. If you're going to rebuild Markelle Fultz's confidence, don't treat him like the number one overall pick. Treat him like a talented player coming back from a major injury. And that, you know, involves, you know, playing with the second unit and rebuilding your confidence that way. Not having him with that second unit to be a lead guard there, I think is damaging to what the 76ers are. So you hope that he can come back and at a bare minimum be that guy for Philadelphia. As for where they are as a team, it's still way too early to tell. I mean, on paper, you put Jimmy Butler in that mix and it's great, but how many times have we seen, you know, a team on paper not pan out? You know, it happens countless times across the league. I mean, the Lakers, when they had Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and on the cover of SI saying, this is going to be fun, that didn't work out. I mean, it takes time to see what kind of chemistry comes together for these guys. And we still don't know if, you know, Butler and Ben Simmons can play together, especially in the fourth quarter. How does Embiid fit in that mix? It'll be a month or two before we figure all that out.
Speaking with Chris Mannix, SI.com senior writer. So when it comes to this team right now, what do you think their ceiling is? Without Markelle Fultz, in my mind, he's out indefinitely. I don't know when they're ever going to figure this out, if they ever figure it out. So just looking at what they have right now, because as I mentioned earlier on the show here, the headline to this, without names, is just Sixers bench player out indefinitely. Shoulder injury, whatever. So now you have Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. I think you have some good pieces with J.J. Redick. I think Landry Shamet has actually been a pretty solid rookie for this team already. And then you have a guy like Wilson Chandler to provide you some defense, obviously. So what's the ceiling with this team as it is right now? Keep in mind the idea that Elton Brand still wants to add to it. What is the ceiling for this team, you think?
The ceiling is the finals. I mean, the Eastern Conference has improved as it is at the top. I don't think there's an alpha at the moment. I mean, Toronto's sitting there at the top. Boston's struggling, but I think they're going to figure it out at some point. But there's no Golden State. And when you add Jimmy Butler into the mix, you should be considered a finals contender on paper. Again, you have to see how it plays out, but you should be, you know, considered on that echelon. I think that one of the big differences that could be made with the Sixers is exactly what you mentioned. Who they add prior to say, the end of the buyout deadline. I wrote last week that the Sixers were you know, kind of looking pretty hard at what Washington's doing right now and see if the Wizards have a fire sale for anybody off that bench. I think they'd love to get their hands on a Markieff Morris or a Kelly Oubre to kind of fill that sort of power forward-ish slot alongside Embiid. And there are other teams that they're looking at as well. But that next move to me is going to be big in sort of determining where the Sixers are slotted in the Eastern Conference. I think they need to make one more supporting role move before we can really judge what they are.
Chris Mannix, SI.com, senior writer. Always great talking to you. I know you were traveling today, so I appreciate you coming on with us. I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise, guys. Take care.